Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Bring on the music. Have a drink of cheer. Kiss your friends around you. And welcome the new year. I hope that you'll be happy with your someone new. 'Cause the old year is gone, and with it, so are you.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I'm here for the Christmas party. Where's the Christmas party? Is it here today?
I had a caller last week. Well, I was working in the office, and she was very nice and was saying that she loves listening to us on Sunday mornings. And then I giggled, and I said, yeah, Mike and I felt very bad about, you know, not inviting you to the Christmas party. And she was like, oh, really? I thought that was a bit. And I said, no, it's very serious. We were very, very bad. We were naughty kids.
I cried all week.
He did.
I'll have you know.
But I have something.
I'm going to cry again.
No. May I bribe you? Here.
What's?
Feel better.
Merry Christmas.
It's a present, folks.
Oh, from Heather Fry. Do I get to open it on the air here?
Yes, you can open it on the other.
There's
no card.
There's no card? There's nothing else in here?
I couldn't find any printed on recycled paper, so I didn't.
I'm looking. I was reading something the other day about recycling and...
You can recycle gift wrap, can't you?
The problem is a lot of it's got...
The
inks are tough, and some of it has the...
Should they burn it then?
Apparently, from what I saw, you should throw it away. But,
really?
You know,
let's can't shred it or anything?
Let's track that down,
okay.
Because some of it's got the silver and the gold stuff in there, and it's really difficult. So
I did have one that when I unfurled
it. I think the tissue paper should probably be fine.
Yeah. When I unfurled it, it said that it had been made out of recycled paper, so that made me feel good. I picked the right one.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. And my gift is... It's a book. And the title is How to Survive a Garden Gnome Attack. And let's see. Gnomes are little but smart. Benign appearance belies murderous intent. Spellbinding flashing lights are prelude to an attack. We'll steal unattended tools and household utensils. Defend yourself when the lawn warrior strike, and they will.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, bam. What's this?
Bonus.
Oh, little bonus, little gift card. Aw. And a quotable magnet that says, when words are both true and kind, they can change our world. Well, you know, one out of two ain't bad. on this show.
I figured it was a radio show.
But you know
right?
what you did? Here's what you did. Let me explain what you did
okay.
here, Heather. You got this gift card in here, mm-hmm. okay, with the magnetic strip on it, mm-hmm. and you put it right against
oh.
the magnet in the inside cover here. Do you think this gift card works anymore?
I hope so. I didn't even think of that. Oh, God. Well, it better work, and if it doesn't, I will go back to Whole Foods myself. And
that's right.
Be like, no.
Whole paycheck?
No, not the whole paycheck, but a nice chunk of it. But that should get you guys
nice... You've never heard that before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. They're not an advertiser. I don't care
yeah,
what
right,
I say.
Exactly.
But...
Exactly. Oh, God, I know. What? I had to shop there after my son got ill. I had to get him all natural stuff for his digestive system, and I'm... Two very small bags
Stop right there. All natural stuff for his digestive system.
No, well, he had a stomach bug, and it actually had like basically killed all the good bugs and bacteria and villi in his intestinal line.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get 100% organic. I had to get, you know, I got him. He had fish sticks made of salmon and edamame. And, I mean, it was really good stuff. But only he could only have goat cheese during that time. I had to get him the kefir, all that stuff. And, yeah.
Eating like a king.
He was eating like a king, yes. And,
what are you chowing down
Chef
on?
Chef Boyardee. The mystery meat.
What's what this?
Red dye number 9, a.k.a. tomato.
SpaghettiOs!
Woo!
Well, is today... See, well, here's what I can't figure out. By the way, if you're listening to the show... we're live.
Mm-hmm.
We're local. We trudge through the snow here today. None of this nonsense where, you know, 2 weeks of Ed Schultz on tape.
Right. Nope. No tape here.
It's like, Ed, I love you. But when I turn on the radio and I hear him, you know, talking about something bad that just happened, and then I realize it was a month ago.
Yeah.
My favorite was last Monday.
Yeah. Last Monday, Mr. Ed Schultz really adores Mr. Brett Favre. I was like, it was like you could hear the crickets chirping. I'm like, what was that, Ed? What was that? He said nothing. He real, we knew they were going to lose anyway. I'm like, right.
But unlike that, no, see, this is the beauty of local radio because all we do, you know. I don't have a TV show where, you know, that's my main deal.
Yeah, no, you don't have a TV show. You should.
I want a TV show.
You should.
So anybody wants to get, I tell you what.
You'd be better than Ed. Ed's good. Ed's good, but you have stage presence. There's a difference.
Well, I would be shticky, that's for sure.
Exactly.
There'd be lots of shtick. You know, since it's the day after Christmas, anybody want to give me a TV show as a present? If you got a leftover one in the closet? It's like, oh, I was giving away these TV shows, and I had...
Oprah found one this morning in a shoebox. Darn it!
Are you kidding? Oprah's got a couple of cases of TV shows. In fact, that's going to be her last present to all the people in the audience.
She had a thing where you could win your own TV show on her new network.
She already did that?
Yeah, she did that already. And have you noticed what the name of her network is? It's called the Oprah Winfrey Network. O-W-N. Own.
And then she's going to stamp that on the world right. at some point.
Like, I think she wears it from her ears. Have you seen the size of those diamonds? Jeez.
So day after Christmas, we're live. We're here. We trudge through the snow for you folks driving today. And you know, thank goodness Christmas was on a Saturday and the day after is on a Sunday because most of you don't have to go to work. Obviously, a lot of people do, like me, like Heather. But it's snowing out there along the lake. And how far out? I mean,
when I came over the Central Avenue Bridge, because I come from, you know, Oak Park.
Yeah.
I could not see the city. I couldn't see one even antenna of a skyline, nothing. It was completely covered in clouds and
fog. And along the lake, in the city, the roads are slick. Even the freeways, some parts of the freeways are wet. Some part are still slushy.
Did we get an inch last night? What did we get?
I don't know.
We'll
ask Mr. DeMaio, and it probably depends where you are. And Rick DeMaio, of course, will be here at 9:30. And I'm going to get him on time today. We're going to start a new tradition.
Our resolution for 2011 to get to Rick on time.
Yeah.
He'll be so excited to hear that. He's holding
and holding. He's holding.
The man of infinite patience.
Yeah. Oh, he's playing computer games. You know, he's whatever.
Checking the weather report.
Do be careful out there. If you're driving around this morning, if you're on your way to church, it's going to take a few extra minutes, depending where you are, depending where the snow is. Be kind of curious to hear who got snow in the overnight. I was a little surprised, too, because it looked like, I don't know, that we had 2 or 3 inches of snow.
Mm-hmm. I saw my car and almost wept this morning because I scraped it off last night. And I looked out the window like, no!
But today, it's the final show of 2010, the Mike Novak Show. Heather and I are on our own. You know, I thought about getting guests, and I thought, who wants to come on the show the day after Christmas? I mean,
it's the first time ever, I think ever, I woke up for the show and didn't want to get out of bed. Usually I'm like, okay, it's time to get up, boom, 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 and I go. This morning I was like, oh, God.
Did you have a good Christmas?
I had a wonderful Christmas. Did you?
Yeah, it was lovely.
Mine was more for my son.
Very quiet, though.
Yeah.
It was a real quiet Christmas. I like that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, one of the things you should do, if you want to see an alternative tree, have you been to my website yet, Heather?
I saw this week's show.
Go to the homepage. Kathleen put together a tree.
Oh, my goodness.
That's our Christmas tree. Now, look at the close-up of it below, and you can see what it's made of.
It's made of baskets.
Yeah, it's a tree made of baskets. Bottom photo's not quite in focus, but the top one
is. That's awesome.
She just grabbed every tchotchke and basket around the house.
That was just laying around.
Right, and we didn't cost a tree, a live tree, its life, and we didn't get an artificial one that had PCVs in it. And by the way, that's sort of the rule of thumb. You don't want a tree with polyvinyl chloride on it. PVCs, rather.
And is that, how do you find out if a tree has PVCs?
A lot of them do. Just the artificial ones, often they're made of that, and there's other bad stuff, too. The idea that an artificial tree is better because you use it over and over and over again, it's really not. It's a tough choice. If you want to get a tree, and this is obviously advice for next year, you want to get a real tree, you really should try to go organic and get it where, because otherwise, tree growers, just like a lot of other farmers, are slamming pesticides there to keep them going. But there are organic tree farms, and you can find those. But even then, it's a better probably to have a real tree than an artificial tree, unless you make one of baskets. So if you want to go and see one made of baskets that Kathleen put together, go to MikeNowak.net, MikeNowak.net, the homepage. Yes, Heather?
Happy Boxing Day, by the way.
Oh, right. It's Boxing Day.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think that a lot of the other countries' traditions are cool, too. That we don't celebrate Boxing Day here.
Well, I have Canadian in-laws now. My brother fell in love with hockey player Barbie, as I like to call her, and she moved up to Edmonton. And we were celebrating Thanksgiving one year, and I said, oh, tell her we'll call her on Boxing Day. I think I was the only relative in my home that knew that Canada celebrated Boxing Day and when it was. But my sister-in-law says that it's the best day for sales. A, it's the day after Christmas, and B, it's Boxing Day. So they take an extra 10% off.
Well, they were saying, I was listening to some of the news reports from last Friday, and considering that there was the day before Christmas was a Friday, they thought that it was going to be maybe better than Black Friday in terms of sales. Because, you know, that's what we do in America. We buy stuff.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful.
We just buy stuff.
I had to go to the grocery store just so I could, for our Christmas breakfast yesterday morning. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to the grocery store. And I went,
on Christmas Day?
No, on
Christmas Eve.
Eve, yes. With my son in tow, because he wanted to come with me. That was fun. And, it was insane. We had to go to two stores because the first store we went to didn't have everything we needed.
Yeah.
And we were hungry, so I was going to overbuy. So I was like, okay, let's stop. And I indulged my son, and we went to McDonald's because that's his favorite place on earth. And when we tried to leave and go about 10 feet from the front door of the McDonald's to our car, thank God I was carrying him because we would have run over 4 times. because of the people just screaming in and out of the parking lot, not looking where they were going, just thinking about themselves and what they had to buy or whatever. And
it's Christmas. People think about everybody else.
It was, I mean, I had a death grip on my child just to get him to the car. I was like, you've got to be kidding.
No, I understand, because I was out that morning too, on Friday morning, picking up a few extra things at the grocery store. Here's what I noticed. First of all, you're right. Everybody running mad, screaming.
They wanted to be somewhere 5 minutes ago.
Right. And nobody was polite.
No.
Nobody. I mean, this is, you know when you go to the grocery store and you stand there because there's too many choices and you're looking at something and you're trying to make your choice and you're standing there and then somebody moves their cart in front of you mm-hmm. while you're standing there mm-hmm. and you want to say, hello,
yeah.
I'm here.
Hi.
I exist. I was looking there, mm-hmm. and now you're blocking
now
my way.
You're a big old door there.
And I spent the whole time, you know, maybe it was 20 minutes in the store saying, excuse me.
Right.
To people who got in front of me.
Right. I do the same thing, like someone bumps into me,
sorry,
and I go,
I'm sorry.
But I didn't do the bumping. They did. But I still apologize.
By the way,
we're the end of the year rant.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is the day we're going to get all this stuff out because we've got no guests, as I said earlier.
Should we invite people to rant with us?
773-838-9278. And here's what we're going to do today. It's not just going to be all Christmas ranting, because I'm doing what I did last year, and it's hard to tell whether this is the Christmas show or the New Year's show.
Because, I would assume it's the New Year's
show.
Well,
it's the New Year's show because this is the last show before.
The last of 2010.
Right.
2010 was a really good year for me. I don't know about everybody else, but I'll be sad to see it go. It was really good to me, 2010.
Are you in your new place yet?
No, not quite.
So it hasn't been perfect.
It hasn't been perfect, but it's been very, very, very... I kissed the Stanley Cup.
That's true.
But you
chickened out and didn't lick it.
No, I only said I'd lick it at Pride Parade. If I found it at the gay Pride Parade, then I'd lick it. But it was only during that celebration was licking it... acceptable.
But
anything outside of that 24-hour span or whatever, how many hours the parade's route goes, that was it. Because if it's going to... I mean, it was Pride.
But what we're doing today is I went back through all of my emails. Oh, wait a second. That's last week's. Hold on.
And speaking of the Blackhawks... I get to go to the game tonight. Santa Claus brought me tickets.
Whoa, how did Santa Claus get you tickets?
Ticket exchange on the ticket server. It's when people who cannot make the game, they go and they post their tickets. It's kind of like a legal Craigslist.
Uh-huh.
And the tickets can go a little bit above face value, but I do believe there's limits. And you just go onto, there's like, you know, three tabs at the top of the page, and there's the second one that says ticket exchange.
Would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Would you click on my website there?
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at my website, and let's go to past shows.
Past shows.
Oh, no, that's what I did. I went to the wrong one. I want to go to this week's show.
What show in the past are we discussing?
Yeah, I don't know. No, we're discussing this week's show. Because
how many hits has Oram gotten?
It's over 1,000.
Yes!
Oram Emanuel on YouTube has over 1,000 views. Why don't you, let's see what we've got there now. So what I did this week is... went through...
1,073.
Doesn't quite qualify as viral, but not bad. You know? And anybody else wants to click on Oram Emanuel, every time you click on, an angel gets his wings. I went through my computer and I, every week I get lots of things in the mail and I often say, oh, I'm going to talk about this on the show and then never get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year what I did is I did a list of stories that somehow I missed, didn't get to and thought should be up there. So I've got a ton of links on, this week's show.
The one I'm very interested in is how Monsanto has gone from Fortune 500 bully to the worst stock of 2010.
Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
I actually have three or four stories that have to do with Monsanto.
Is that how you say it? Monsanto?
Yeah. Why? Yeah, Monsanto.
Monsanto.
Monsanto. You
the
say
devil.
Monsanto, and I say Monsanto. It was written up in Grist. Oh, let's start with that. Tom Philpott, who's a food writer for Grist. And let me say, before I get into this, I have a bunch of these. If you want to comment on anything, if you got a story that you think got missed this year, if you just want to rant, if you want to say Happy New Year, 773-838-9278. One thing I have to mention about last week, when we had the contest for the greenest gift, mm-hmm. and the guy called with the horse poop,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Rizzi, he calls me the other day and says, I got like 8 or 9 phone calls that day from people who were interested in the product. So
did he sell some horse poop?
Yeah, he did.
Yay!
I was just listening to the show. So you should be advertising, pal. All right, that's the way that works. Nah, I'm happy to do it.
That's fantastic.
It was cool.
Yeah.
And
I had relatives in Wisconsin who said that was their favorite, and they were glad he won. They were listening on the computer.
So if you need horse manure, what was the, boy, I should have the name of the company. I've got the number here.
Something Soil, wasn't it?
He's going to call.
Yeah.
You know he's going to call. So when he does.
He can tell us the
right
name.
We'll give him another plug.
It was Something Soil. I could have sworn.
Was it? At any rate. I thought that was pretty interesting. All right, back to the story that got missed. This was written in October by Tom Philpott on grist.org. And if you want to read about environmental stories, one of my favorite places to go is grist.org, G-R-I-S-T.org. Their slogan is "A Beacon in the Smog." And they do everything with a sense of humor, which is great. And by the way, Tree MD writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's our first tweet.
First tweet of the day from Scott Jameson. You want to read that, Heather?
Mike, now, Monsanto is not related to Ron Santo. Many believe they are just plain evil. I don't know. They gave us Roundup. Evil, 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 evil.
Ron Santo did not give us Roundup.
No, Ron Santo was not evil, nor did he give us Roundup.
No.
But Monsanto.
You know, I got to say something about the whole Ron Santo thing. Did
mm-hmm.
we? Because
no, go ahead. Go right ahead.
I worked for at Gargantua Radio down the dial.
When they were still the owners of the Cubs, weren't they?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. For many, many years, including working when I first started, I was an engineer, and I worked with engineers that... who had been around since Ron played and were engineers then in the 60s and early 70s when Ron played.
Wow.
One of them in particular who was a very opinionated guy.
And engineer in radio, opinionated?
Yeah, well, you know.
No.
They're like the gardeners in the murder mysteries. They're the ones who...
And the butlers.
Yeah.
The garden, the cooks, and the butlers.
The gardeners know everything, and they know who did it, and they know why, and they're always...
It's a very special kind of fertilizer they use in the ground there.
And they all have attitudes, as do engineers. And this engineer was very opinionated about Ron. And this is... He told me this 20 years ago. He said... Ron Santo will never be in the Hall of Fame. And I said, well, why not? He's got the numbers. And he said, they hated him.
Yeah, that's
the
what
other
I
players
heard.
Hated
I heard
him.
He was not well-liked amongst his peers.
No, they thought he was a showboat. They thought he was a hot dog.
And he was very egotistical.
The whole clicking your feet thing, which the fans loved, players hated.
Yeah.
And the players...
See, I've heard that before, too. And I've heard that through Cub circles because I'm a Sox fan.
And that being said,
yeah.
The players and the news writers decide who gets into
right.
the Hall of Fame.
See, I thought he wouldn't see it in his lifetime. It'll happen now that he's gone, I think. I think that was like the penance.
It might. Yeah, who knows? But he predicted it and it came to pass. But you know what? And then somebody else said to me, well, what about Ty Cobb?
Yeah,
he wasn't exactly a like guy.
Yeah. Well,
there's been a lot of
superior numbers, though, didn't he?
And this was right at the beginning of the Hall of Fame, and they put in Ty Cobb was one of the, I think, initial members of the Hall of Fame. But, and that was his story, is that these guys never forget. Now, that being said, I think that the baseball players and the writers are basically nimrods, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're ruining the game of baseball by who they decided can get
they're
in.
They're playing favorites.
Who, yeah, you know, and their whole criterion, the main criterion is, did you win a World Series? Well, that doesn't, you know, one person can't decide whether a team goes to a World Series.
Not the same sport by any means, but Dan Marino. He's an amazing quarterback. Never won a Super Bowl. Amazing quarterback. Yeah. Never won a Super Bowl. Ever.
Well, is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so, yes.
There you go. But he got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he didn't win it.
He didn't win it.
He didn't win it.
But he got to. But there you go. Back to Monsanto, and then in a couple of minutes,
yay! My friend Bridget's listening to us in Michigan.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Where in Michigan?
Just outside Detroit area. I think Roselle, near Warren.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roselle near Warren. I don't think Roselle.
Is it Roselle? It starts with a rose. Rose something. Now she's going to listen to this and know that I can't remember the name of her hometown. I'm sorry, Bridget.
Bridget, write and let me know where you're listening from.
She'll Facebook me.
So,
because you're from Warren, yes.
I'm from Warren, okay. Michigan. Well, actually, that's where I went to high school. I'm originally from Madison Heights, which is a town that nobody's ever heard of.
You're right.
I am the most famous person ever to come out of Madison Heights, and that's just sad. Okay. Here we go. Tom Philpott, we're going to get to this, writes in Grist. He says, he took note of Andrew Pollack's October 4th New York Times story on the recent plight of genetically modified seed giant Monsanto, longtime Wall Street darling and bete noir of the sustainable food movement. Pollack summed up Monsanto's woes like this, Philpott writes. And here's the quote from New York Times. As recently as late December, Monsanto was named Company of the Year by Forbes magazine. Last week, and this is in October, the company earned a different accolade from Jim Cramer, the television stock market commentator. Quote, "This may be the worst stock of 2010, he proclaimed. On Tuesday, following that comment, Forbes publicly lamented its decision to deem Monsanto Company of the Year. The headline was cutting, and here's the headline, Forbes was wrong about Monsanto, really wrong. So how did Monsanto go from Wall Street hero to Wall Street doormat? Well, according to the Times Pollack, Monsanto's troubles are twofold. One, the patent on Roundup, Monsanto's market-dominating herbicide, has run out, exposing the company to competition from cheap Chinese imports. And two, its target, large-scale commodity farmers in the South and Midwest, are turning against its core offerings in genetically modified corn, soy, and cottonseed traits. Philpott writes, I agree with Pollack's diagnosis, but I want to add a third and even more fundamental problem to the mix. Monsanto's once-celebrated product pipeline is looking empty. As I'll show below, its current whiz-bang seeds offer just tarted-up versions of the same old traits it has been peddling for more than a decade, which are herbicide tolerance and pest resistance. Meanwhile, judging from the company's recent report on its latest quarterly earnings, the blockbuster traits it has been promising for years, drought resistance and nitrogen use efficiency, don't seem to be coming along very well. So the point is that there doesn't seem to be much that they have to offer. And since we started there, one of the other stories I had was in the New York Times earlier this year, and the headline is Farmers Cope with Roundup-Resistant Weeds.
Right.
What's happening now, and we talked about, I think, a little bit this year about how the use of Roundup-ready crops, the GMOs, is creating a whole generation of super weeds. So what's happening is farmers who had been told, all right, you use the Roundup Ready crop, and then you can use Roundup with impunity. You can use it all you want. And what's happened is, well, as you can expect, you use something too much, something bad's going
to
happen.
Right.
And a bunch of these, these weeds got resistant. They're showing up in, they have the numbers here, which is kind of interesting, that out of 170 million acres, which is a lot, they said, only 10 to 17 acres.
That's a lot.
No, 10 to 17 million acres are affected. 10 to 17 million acres have a problem with
I don't mean to giggle, but when you say super weed, I envision like this mutant thing taking place, comic book style.
Well, for farmers, it is.
Right.
So what the farmers have had to do is go back to some of the old techniques, which are Now they got to plow again because the whole idea of the Roundup, part of it was no-till, which reduces soil erosion. And now they have to till again to get rid of the weeds. And on top of that, not only are they using Roundup, but now they have to go use other pesticides. So instead of using fewer pesticides, they're using more pesticides because of the Roundup ready
crops.
And
that's going to upset the water table and so on and so on.
And this is not me, folks. This is the New York Times saying this and other people out there. That both of those stories are on MikeNovak.net this week. All right, let's get to Rick DeMille and take care of a little business, and we will do that in just a sec. Now that Christmas is over and we're on the eve of the new year, it's probably time to take a look around the house and tend to some of those all-important indoor gardening tasks you've neglected. Yep, that's, you know, I still have plants in the basement. They have not made it out of the basement since I brought them in from... For the fall.
Because of my move? Oh, dear.
Whoa,
that's not supposed to be ringing.
The warm line is ringing.
That's not supposed to be ringing.
Well, it stopped ringing.
No, it's not. Hold on.
No, wait. Don't answer it.
Oh, we're not going to answer it?
All right. Go ahead. Say, Mike Novak Show, we're on the air.
You're on the radio on the Mike Novak Show. How are you?
That's not going through the board, so we don't have to worry about it.
It's a mistake. I think it's beeping.
Wrong number, huh?
Maybe it's someone trying to fax us in the wrong line. I don't know.
It's a sales call.
Damn you, auto dialer.
What were we saying? We're talking about indoor plants and your plants.
I gave them to my grandmother to look after for 2 weeks because the woman, she has not a green thumb. She has a green arm.
So they're blooming already.
They're thriving. They're so happy. They're all over her home.
Did you ask her what she did?
I will when I go to get them.
Right. And when you find out, let me know. I want to know.
Truth be told, I think it's better light. My old apartment did not have a southern exposure.
Well, if you got light now. Light is key. I read an article just yesterday that said the key to indoor plants is not the watering, it's not the fertilizing, it's the light.
She has gorgeous sliding glass door windows and a southern exposure, and yeah, I think,
Light's everything. Light. Plants, tropicals want some
really
light.
They really like it.
Yeah, they do. getting back to SIDS, now, if you want to repot the unruly houseplants that were temporarily shoved behind the bookcase when you made room for the Christmas tree, well, SIDS can help with the right soil mixes and fertilizers for every plant, and one of Chicagoland's largest assortments of decorative pots and pottery. Now, of course, they have a great selection of lush tropical houseplants as well. Remember, houseplants not only look great, they also help improve indoor air quality. And if you want to help them improve your indoor air quality, every few weeks, take a cloth and wipe some of the dust off so they can do their job properly. And if you've been enjoying lovely poinsettias for the last several weeks, now this is good. You're in luck. Through February 1st, you can trade in your poinsettia plant at SIDS and get 25% off a shiny new tropical plant. Now, I assume it's, you know, your poinsettia is not dead. But they'll take care of the details. Oh, and in case you haven't had your fill of Christmas decorating, most remaining Christmas merchandise is 60 to 75% off while supplies last. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
I'm here. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. I'm trying to track down Rick DeMille. I didn't put the phone number down on the sheet today. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you've got a real tree this year, don't let it end up in a landfill. It's easy to recycle or to reuse. The branches of a Christmas tree can be tripped. They can be chipped or shredded and used as mulch in the yard or placed in the compost pile. Obviously, the finer you chop it up, the faster it will decompose in the spring. And of course, if you don't want to chop it up yourself, the city will probably do it for you. In Chicago, go to cityofchicago.org. /environment. Branches from the tree can be used to cover plants to help protect them from the cold and wind and to keep the soil temperature even. Finally, never burn your Christmas tree or any fresh conifer wood in a fireplace or wood stove. The tree can have a lot of sap, which when burned turns into creosote that can coat the inside of your chimney and possibly lead to a chimney fire. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
The Christmas tree's on fire.
See, that's what happens if you leave your Christmas tree up till Valentine's Day. Okay. And on that cheery note, let's bring in Rick DeMaio.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great.
I saw you last night on Fox News, Chicago.
Happy day after Christmas.
Yeah, happy day. I always wonder if you know someone with the name of Eve, how do you address them on Christmas?
I don't know, Rick. How do you address them?
I guess you say Merry Christmas Eve. and then you're all screwed up. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was yesterday. And
yeah,
like,
really.
Who's on first?
Yeah. Exactly. So we're trying to figure out here today whether it's whether it's Christmas or whether it's
New Year's.
We don't know.
What do you mean whether it's Christmas or New Year's? It's Christmas. You just talked about burning down a Christmas tree.
I guess. Well, it's the day after Christmas. You know, it's like a bonus day for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. You didn't say burning down the mistletoe.
No. That would probably kill you.
No,
it's poison.
This is when most of the little children get to open the boxes they didn't get to open yesterday. I know my son will be interested in that. You know, the toys we did not assemble at the aunt's house.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
We get to bring them home and assemble them all today. Or I'm going to make my father do it, probably. Put that together for him, would you? Thanks.
Yeah, you get something, and all of a sudden you go, well, we need batteries for this.
Oh,
yeah. And it's like you have a battery holder that says D, and all you have is C in the house, and you start. This is the best thing, is you go to other things in the house that have the battery that you need, and you take it out of that. And someone goes to turn it on, they go, hey, what's wrong with this? It's not working. And
we had a bunch of dead remotes one year for that very reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because we took the double A's out of all the remotes and put them in the toys.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone's
that's
like, why should I change the TV? And like, you have to actually physically get up and go hit the button on the set. What?
And I know, how sad is that? That you know, you complain that you have to get up and change a channel on the TV. Whoa,
oh, my gosh.
I'm ringing here. Everybody's calling
okay,
me.
That's you. I thought it was the studio
no,
line
no, no.
again.
That's,
okay,
that's
you're
me.
Acceptable.
Wow.
Wow, it's Ron Cowgill calling. What's he doing calling? Ron, why don't you just call the number here? All right?
Go away, Ron.
I think he knows it.
Come on, Ron. Call in and wish us a whatever.
Hope his Christmas tree didn't catch on fire yesterday and half of his house burnt down and your song now just left him in a totally horrific emotional state.
I don't think so.
That would be horrible.
That would be pretty bad. My God. What an intro.
So I have to ask you,
the weather's got to be better than that.
What's it like being back in the studio over at Fox?
Oh, it's kind of weird.
I bet it is. I mean, it's like, oh, well, here I am again. Oh,
yeah.
How about that?
Well, you know what, Mike? I always say in this business, you always take the high road. You really do. And you never know when...
No, you just take whatever job somebody offers you, you know?
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, okay. That's the high road, the
it's
money
high road.
Road
work.
Yeah.
That's the high road. The high road, and at the end of the high road, it's the answer, yes. No, I'm serious. I mean, when I left there, it's going to be 4 years in January, It was kind of a quick departure. It was like, hello, that was your last show. Please leave. But I didn't get a chance to go postal. You know, I guess it's a good thing.
I think so.
But no, I've always kept you know my head on straight. I always kept in contact with some of my, you know, ex coworkers over there. And you know, you always say, you know, if things have a chance of working out, if you be the person that you are deep down inside, then you know, with a little bit of help from other you know forces in the world in the universe, then you never know how things will turn out. But I still have to say, this is just short time. I'm walking around with my line saying I'm only here for a cup of coffee, and that's fine. But it's nice to be back. But it's also somewhat humbling and sad because most news stations today are about half the size of what they used to be. And there's a lot of people who've lost their jobs in that industry, and I feel for them because I think I have a lot to fall back on. Where there are some people who may be, you know, 10 years older than me that have like one set of skills, and they feel like they're very threatened and almost done, and that's a really really horrible thing to have to feel at a certain point in your life. And I've had several conversations with people who say, if you know anybody who's going into the engineering or production side of TV, tell them not to. Or if they are doing it, have them have at least two or three other skills that they can, you know, fall back on.
Oh, so, you got to be able to do everything. You know, there's the specialties, especially in the electronic communications business, are gone. When I started work at WGN as an engineer, this is how specialized things were. This was. And you think about this now, and this was in the mid-'80s. Mm-hmm. When I came in there, when the Cubs would break for a commercial, mm-hmm. there would be a live announcer in the studio, and they would turn on his mic, and he would read the commercial live.
Wow.
I mean, even imagine that now, nobody would do that kind of thing now.
I don't know anyone who reads their commercials live.
No.
Mm-mm. Nobody never goes off on a tangent, never strays from the subject line.
Yeah, okay.
He is a professional.
Well, you know, I think the bottom line is that you have to go into this business now knowing that things are going to change twice as fast as they did before, really, and expect the unexpected. There's very little loyalty in the industry, and, you know, you have to be prepared for change. And that's why I'm going to continue to do what I do best, which is right now teaching. And while I love doing, you know, the evening news, and I'll be doing the morning news tomorrow at this time, I'll be working the 4:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. morning newscast. It's more like late night TV, if you ask me.
But that's that. You. You know, that's your lifestyle.
Oh, no. Trust me. 5.5 hours of morning TV is, I think, a bit too much. In any event, it feels good. I feel very connected to the audience. I feel very connected with the people I work with. Everybody is very, very genuinely very nice to me. And with that said, it's nice to be back. So.
Well, you looked great. What can I tell you? And the best thing is, you're done at 9:30 p.m. So if I'm watching you the night before the show, I get to bed an hour earlier.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. But I mean, you know, it's a nice newscast, and actually working with Bob and Robin, I've worked with both of them in the past. You know, each of them almost 5 years total. But the 9 o'clock newscast is much, much different than what it used to be when I was there. And I think they're going for a little bit more intellect, a little bit more depth in stories, a little bit kind of quieter approach to news, not this flash and dash and crash and burn newscast, which is what they had, you know, in the early 2000s. And I think if you give it some time, a lot of people will come around and say, you know what, this is real Fox Chicago, rather than Fox News cable with a couple of pieces of Chicago news, you know, kind of slipped in there. I think this newscast, if you give it a chance, has a really good potential to cover everything that what people want to be at least aware of what's happening in the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. And Bob's a great vehicle for bringing in a lot of history as well. And so far it's been very enjoyable. Now I'll get to work the morning show. You know, we'll see how that works out, but that's a completely different animal because you got 5.5 hours of news to cover, and And yeah,
that's a long time. Yeah,
5.5 hours. You tend to repeat a few things several hundred times.
The phone call I got from Ron Cowgill. Uh-huh. First, he now texted me and he said, "Snow report, 8 to 10 in Highland Park, 6 to 8 in Glenview. Sorry about the ring."
Absolutely.
That wasn't his fault. That was your fault. You didn't turn your ringer off on your phone.
Well, but it's also my alarm clock, and I forget to do that sometimes.
Yeah, there was one band of lake effect snow when I went to bed last night. It was generally just east of Kenosha and in eastern sections of Lake County and extreme northeastern sections of Cook County. And that band was producing anywhere between 2 and 2.5 inches of snow per hour. And Gurnee got about 7 inches. Highland Park, as you mentioned, I just looked at a couple of reports, about 6 inches. Here in Rogers Park, we got about 4 inches. I think the band went a little bit further west, but Northbrook got about 7. I think O'Hare probably got about 2 or 3. I haven't seen an official report from them yet. But the band has actually weakened a little bit, and you can actually see it not only out my window, but on the radar as well. It's still somewhat right along, you know, hugging the Lake Michigan shoreline from about, say, the Botanic Gardens northward. That'll eventually shift east and weaken. But I think even before it shifts east, it'll probably continue to weaken because the dynamics and the thermodynamics that are making the snow band develop are kind of falling apart a little bit. But I urge anybody who lives within a few blocks of anywhere along Lake Michigan, there is, Mike, some of the most amazing ice formations due to the fact that we've had this persistent north wind. And I see people walking out on the ice. Please don't walk out on the ice. I got a feeling that there's going to be a couple of reports of people either, you know, with 1 foot in and 1 foot out, or maybe a dog going out on the ice and kind of trying to walk around a little bit. This ice is, it's more of like mashed up pancake ice. It looks like Play-Doh right now. But it's not a very, very thick ice cover. So if you want to take pictures, do it from afar. Use your zoom lens to get what you want on a day like today. But it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, yeah, you'd have to be a little insane to go out because we haven't had the consistently cold weather
to make
it safe. Yeah.
Right, but it is pretty some of the formations are just fantastic. You know, just because we've had all this pancake ice on the lake, and it's now been pushed up against the shoreline. And the odd thing about it is most of this could actually be gone by the end of the week.
Yes. Did we have a... okay. And we just got tweeted, there's 6 inches of lake effect snow in Arlington Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember the last time we had lake effect here in the burbs. You know?
We had 3 or 4 different events last year of lake effect. But 6 inches seems about right for Arlington Heights.
But I'm thinking that, you know, Arlington Heights is a little bit inland there.
But when you look at them from a standpoint of if you take like you know, say Highland Park and you draw a line and you go like due southwest, it's not that far inland if you can get a band. This band was about 200 miles long. It went all the way offshore Sheboygan, right down into northwestern sections of Lake and Cook County. So all it has to do is go in about 10 or 15 miles, and you can easily get 4 to 6 inches of snow. We had snow all the way down in the Joliet with this. So this was a pretty formidable band of lake effect snow.
Is it getting to, I need to ask, it getting to the Morton Arboretum? Because I'm caroling there this afternoon for their...
We definitely had some snow down there. If they got maybe about a half inch to an inch, that should have been about it by the time it reached.
Oh, it'll be so beautiful.
You know,
there,
and I have to explain. And just as we speak, the sun just came out.
It sure did.
It's coming through the window here.
We've been sitting in like a catacomb in here. It's been so dark, and then the sun just peered in.
Thanks, Rick. Nice work.
It'll be gone in about 5 minutes.
I'm sure, and more snow. But out at the Morton Arboretum, they're holding their 33rd annual Yule log hunt. And they hide it somewhere on the grounds, and then they give you clues, and you go out and find it, and you get a prize, and then we put it on the fire, and meanwhile the frozen robins will be singing and caroling, and the kids are there, and it's, you know, it's really fun. It's a great event. And
in past years
they were doing it after the New Year, and this year they decided to do it right after Christmas, and I think it's a great idea, especially with the snow we're having now. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be gorgeous out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if New Year's Day next week is kind of rainy, believe it or not. Yeah, it looks like by the end of the week we'll have temperatures in the low 40s, and a lot of the snow that we have out there is probably going to turn to slush.
So, let's get that forecast.
Yeah, the bulk of the snow, I think, today, the heaviest stuff, I think, is over with. And this band will eventually move down across southern sections of Lake Michigan. We'll probably see snow continuing off and on at the Bears game. Today will be the third game in a row they're playing in snow, actually. And then I think once it completely shifts to the east of us by about probably 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon, just some cloudy skies left over, high about 30, north winds about 15. So pretty chilly wind chills. And then later on tonight, I think we'll probably begin to clear out. And then early tomorrow looks like a pretty good day. A lot of sunshine, probably readings in the mid to upper 20s, probably low 30s on Tuesday, maybe low to mid 30s on Friday. And I hate to say it, but it looks like to be a very cloudy, kind of foggy, drizzly pattern for Thursday and Friday as a lot of warm air begins to override the snowpack. And there's a pretty good chance that this time next week a lot of the snow will be reduced to slush, and we could even get some significant rain around here Friday night and into Saturday. So it could be kind of a slushy underfoot for people trying to go out and about and enjoy
New Year's Eve. And what I heard you say last night is then after that, look out because we're going to get some cold weather.
Yeah, there's definitely some cold weather that comes in after that. But the pattern right now is one of very, very strong systems coming across the middle part of the country. The one today, obviously, is affecting the East Coast. Blizzard warnings for Boston, for New York. Heavy snow warnings for Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. So you heard about some air travel impacted in the southeast yesterday. It was funny, they had 200 flights canceled at Atlanta yesterday for about 2 hours of snow. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and of course this affects people in Chicago who are might be going home to the East Coast.
Oh, God, home to the East Coast or coming back? You're going to see a lot of news reports of people sleeping on cots up and down the East Coast because this is the kind of stuff that shuts down airports. So I wouldn't be surprised if Newark and LaGuardia and Kennedy are shut down later on today, and probably Boston shut down tonight and through tomorrow morning. We're looking at, from what I can see, 30, 40-mile-per-hour winds and maybe 10 to 16 inches of snow.
Woo.
From about Philadelphia north to Boston. And it'll be interesting because tonight Minnesota is playing at Philadelphia, and it's a Sunday night game.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're going to see nothing but snow blowing sideways with about 6 to 8 inches on the ground and probably 40-mile-per-hour winds. This is about as worse as it gets.
Minnesota cannot catch
a break. They can't catch
a break.
No. The snow is out to get them this year.
Not only that, just everything.
That's what you do for taking on Favre. It's bad karma. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, next thing you know, they're going to be down.
Tell Ed Schultz that, all right?
I know.
Next thing you know, they're going to be down the 9,000 lakes.
The best joke of the end of the year.
That was actually pretty good.
That was great.
You'll be crossing out that little thing on the back of there. We're down to 9,000. Now what am I going to do on Sunday?
I just have to do my Tom Skilling impersonation to wrap things up because, you know, that storm on the East Coast. He'd be saying, these are the remnants of the Pineapple Express.
Yeah, 16 states and 2,132 counties under watches and warnings and advisories.
Sure, it's 2,132. It's not 2,133.
Right. Tom, if I know him good and I know him well, he counted every one of them.
Well, that's Rick DeMaio. You can catch it now back on Fox Chicago. And welcome back to that, but still at DeMaioWeather.com. Mm-hmm. Great information there, which you can always link to on my website or just go straight to DeMaio Weather. And, of course, my website, MikeNovak.net, and he's on the homepage. Happy New Year, Rick.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Mike and Heather. And I don't know if I'll be talking to you next week, but we'll try to work something out.
Because it's the second, but so your party would be on the... okay, we'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk.
All right, take care, buddy.
Bye.
If we just got tweeted from Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Snappy J Dog is via the internets listening to us from Nebraska.
Yay!
Yay, internets!
Okay, we love the internets.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a gardener or if you know one, you know what happens at the new year, and I'm not talking about singing Auld Lang Syne, although that does happen. This is when they start planning next year's garden.
Never mind that it's at least 3 and possibly 4 months before anything goes into the ground. After all, this is Zone 5. But gardeners start reading and planning. And what they should get their hands on is Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. The January-February issue is just hitting the stands. Did you get yours yet, Heather?
Not yet.
Oh.
I believe it was sent to my old address. It's waiting for me.
Okay. The January-February issue is just hitting the stands, and it's the annual garden planning edition, complete with 3 holes punched in the side so you can throw it into your binder and refer to it all year long. Inside, there are articles about what to do when in the edible garden, a guide to color throughout the growing year, and a look at some of the best new flower varieties. Of course, there are all of the regional reports from around the area, experts to answer your gardening questions, and even my column on the inside back page. You can punch even more holes in that if you like. You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
Hey gardeners, want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
And you can imagine what Cantini looks like at this time of year. You know, they had their big poinsettia thing with the 4,000 poinsettias and, wow, snow on the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, snow's not fun to drive in, but it's beautiful on the trees.
Yeah,
I love it. It's so gorgeous.
Well, this is the New Year's edition, Christmas slash New Year's edition of the Mike Novak Show, and in the second hour, we'll actually get to more of those news stories that I missed during the season. You can always call us, and I hope you'll stick around for that.
The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
One of Heather's favorite songs.
With a little New Year's twist.
A little New Year's twist. This is a group called, what do they call themselves? The Husky Pack or something like that. Where's my, hello, here, the Husky Team. Husky Team is what they, I don't even know what that means. But it's
Team of Huskies?
Well.
Like the dogs?
Thanks. Of course it does.
You know, they don't pull the sleds, though. The Malamutes do. Huskies are too small.
So we found out where your cousin lives?
Yeah. Well, she's not my cousin. She's my son's aunt. She's sort of, because I never married her brother, I guess she'd be my sister outlaw.
Sister
she's
outlaw.
She's not my in-law, she's my outlaw.
I like that.
And I mean that in the most endearing sense, but.
Hey, sister outlaw.
Sister outlaw. Roseville, Michigan.
Roseville,
is where
Michigan.
She's listening to us from today.
Cool.
And she's excited. She's going to have a gorgeous garden next year because she's already heard all the lovely tips that we can give her. So.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Mike Novak Show, as you just heard, and it's kind of a laid-back day after Christmas. We're just, you know, sipping eggnog here. Did you bring the libation to go with the eggnog? And we're just sipping eggnog here. It's
it's eggnog. Sure.
You know,
I'm not still drunk from last night.
As if I'm gonna,
As if I'm going to give you another reason to party.
Oh, exactly. Outside of going to the Blackhawks game today. That's party enough. And the Bears play.
Wow.
Woo-hoo.
I can't believe you're going to Blackhawks.
I'm a happy sports girl today.
Yeah, I bet you are. Well, I'm on Bears Blackout today.
Why?
I'm performing.
Duh.
I'm going to be starting at 1 p.m.
I'm so sad for you.
For those of you who don't care about the Bears, 1 p.m., the Frozen Robins will be performing at the Morton Arboretum. And it's part of the Morton Arboretum's Yule Log Hunt, their annual. And it's, as I mentioned before with Rick DeMille, it's really a lot of fun. You bring the family. You go hunt for the Yule Log. There's things for the kids to do. You're running around in the snow. Mm-hmm. And they actually do hide it somewhere on the grounds, and you do have to trudge out. This isn't some wimpy little game. They have real clues, and you got to go out and find the log. And then they bring it back, and they saw it. And they burn it, but they save part of it for next year. So we'll be, we'll have, you know, and that part will be hidden next year. So, and the tradition goes on and on and on. And Josh from NRDC. Hey, Josh! He's tweeting. He says, time to gear up for the February election. Do you know the candidate's stances on green issues? No? Well, time to ask him in public. Well, actually, I'm glad you bring that up, Josh, on Twitter. And Josh also writes, there's a public transit platform that was sent to all mayoral candidates. Hopefully they will publicly announce their positions. You know, there's a lot of environmental issues. And I got involved with a kind of a coalition through the Environmental Law and Policy Center. And a bunch of enviros were brought into the room, and they said, okay, we need to ask these mayoral candidates a lot of questions about the environment, because we were afraid that the environment was going to get left in the dust when education and the budget in general and crime came up. And let's face it, for all the problems the Daley administration might have had, the environment was very strong and very prominent in that administration. And it would be a shame if that got dropped, or if the things that the Daley administration didn't get done weren't addressed. So a bunch of people in the room, and included people like Open Lands and Friends of the Parks and Friends of the Forest Preserves and the Chicago Recycling Coalition, which I'm president of, and other groups got in the room. ELPC, of course, was there. And we sat down for several meetings and hammered out a bunch of questions that have to do with the environment that we're going to present to mayoral candidates. And that's going to come out on the 6th of January. Now, one of the things I hope to do next week on the show on January 2nd is to talk to one or more of the people from that coalition as a preview to the kinds of questions that are going to be released and that we hope the candidates will answer. And the candidates becoming fewer and fewer as the days go by, as everybody knew would happen. And they involve questions like what's going on with transit and recycling and open spaces and water quality and on and on and on. And air quality, as a matter of fact. So stay tuned, because in the next couple of weeks, I will be talking about that on the show and the questions that we want to get out to the mayoral candidates. And Josh, Happy New Year. Natural Resources Defense Council, great organization. Josh Mogerman, who's on the show a lot. I'm glad he's listening. I'm glad he's tweeting. And, you know, and that's the other thing, is we get to the end of the year. Let's go over one other thing, and then we'll do a couple more stories. I put a list of organizations, and this is by no means comprehensive, but places, you know, it's the end of the year, and a lot of not-for-profits hit you up because they need to balance the books and they need to look good going into the new year and deal with taxes and that sort of thing. And this is a good time for you as well, if you know, not a lot of us have a great deal of disposable income these days. Oh, my gosh. I was talking to my brother-in-law
on Christmas Day yesterday. There's a tale of woe. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an independent business guy. He's the kind of person, you know, small business that should be getting a break.
Mm-hmm. And he's not.
Not these multi-billionaires and their
crushed.
Big businesses that are sending their businesses overseas. No, he's working in Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, try to make a go of it in Michigan,
yeah,
all right?
Where they're already half failing. Like, half the industry out of that state is gone.
Well, they estimate the unemployment rate in Detroit is 30%.
God.
You know? The real unemployment rate in mm-hmm. Detroit. That's a third of the population.
And that's not even, that's just Detroit. There's also Ohio, where all the factory,
sure,
they're also closing.
But it was just terrifying. But people who can, and you wouldn't do it just for your taxes, but because you support these organizations, should, at the end of the year, see if they can dip in there. Send $25, send $10, send whatever you can. And the list I have up there, like I said, by no means comprehensive, but you've heard these names on my show in the past year, and I think they're worthy causes. And you could do a lot worse than to donate to them. Like, it starts with, in alphabetical order, Angelic Organics Learning Center. They have contributed to the Good Growing segments on the Mike Novak Show. Their experts talk here and donate their time, because I sure as heck not paying them. But they are also, you know, involved in the local food movement, etc. Chicago Audubon Society, a great organization, has been around for a long time. Chicago Recycling Coalition, let me put in a plug. We are all volunteer. We can use your help. You want recycling in Chicago? You want us to talk to the candidates? Do you want us to get it done, finally?
Get the blue carts out of the
warehouse.
Get
them out of the warehouse.
And in your alley.
In your alley. And get the garbage and recycling picked up. And get recycling picked up so there won't be as much garbage. Chicago Recycling Coalition. If you click on that, you can find a place to donate. Chicago Wilderness, which is an organization that I really think is wonderful and does a lot of things, like Leave No Child Inside. We've talked about that. It's one of their initiatives. You could donate to them. Environment Illinois, which covers a wide range of environmental issues, and they got a really fun graphic on their homepage. They've dealt with Asian carp, factory farm waste in the Illinois River, all kinds of different things. So Environment Illinois is great. FamilyFarmed.org, again, involved in the local food movement in and around Chicago, but also the Midwest, because they deal with organizations, farms from other states. You know, we think of ourselves as a farm region, food region. Friends of the Forest Preserves. My buddy Benjamin Cox is on the show all the time. You know, it's great that we have Tony Preckwinkle now as board president. I hope she will move to separate the county board from the forest preserves. We need two separate bodies, because we cannot manage our forest preserves properly if they're wrapped in the budgeting for the board as a whole. So I hope she will move forward in that. Growing Home Chicago, which has an organic farm, is farming on the south side of Chicago. I got their CSA this year. I was Kathleen and I were getting, and our friend Mac, and sometimes we shared with other people, contributing to them, and we bought a CSA and got wonderful vegetables all summer. Open Lands Project. If you're not, you know, and one of the things I got to talk about, it, and I'm going to get them on the show, that development that used to be Fort Sheridan on Lake Michigan is just an amazing development. And they've got ravines that they're restoring. The idea that there's this lakefront on Lake Michigan that has now gone back to the public is stunning. And Open Lands was one of the prime movers behind that, and they're a worthy cause. Safer Pest Control Project is a great organization.
dealing with how to do organic lawn care. They've been in the forefront of the bed bug infestation in America.
Bugs.
Yeah, well, I got stink bugs on. If you go to my website for one of the stories I missed, it's the stink bug story. We didn't really talk about it this year.
You got a caller.
Sierra Club, Illinois. Yeah, we'll get a caller. I want to do that. That's a good question too. And Urban Habitat Chicago, they're the folks who won the Gardener of the Year. At least that's part of their organization over at the Joy Garden up at North Prep. So great organizations, and this is just a partial list, okay, of people and organizations you could donate to at the end of the year. Do yourself a favor. Do them a huge favor because they're doing great work. Let us go to line one. We have a question from Eric. Eric, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
Okay. Before everything started freezing, I had lots and lots of red worms in the compost bin outside. I went out to go dump the scraps in there, and I stuck the stick in there, and it's as hard as a rock.
Oh yeah,
I mean it's a big bin. It's a big bin, but I want to know, are my poor little red worms frozen or
now is it above ground?
Yes.
It's
one of those four-walled plastic things.
Yeah, I got one of those too. I've got the what I call the Darth Vader helmet that the city of Chicago was selling a few years ago, and I don't know if they still do. And it's got a twist top, and you put your compost in it. And I've been doing that, and I know that's frozen. But I also know if I'm a red wiggler worm and I have any access to the ground at all. I mean, is your thing on the ground or is it floating in space?
No, it's on the ground. It's I buried the walls about 4 inches down.
Yeah. So if you're a red wiggler worm, what you're going to do is as it gets cold, you're going to look for warmer ground. And I'm not an expert on it, but I'm assuming they're going into the ground, and then when it gets warmer, they come back up. But let's check on that, Heather. We're going to do that right away. And if I got any of my listeners who are experts in what happens to red wigglers in the winter, and it's a great question because I'm throwing my compost, my food scraps, into my compost bin, which is completely sealed. I've upgraded, and now it's completely sealed. And I know that it's just going to, like you said, it gets rock hard, and it's frozen.
Yeah.
But when the weather gets warm, it will begin to break down again, and soon it will be gone, And at least I have, in the meantime, a place to throw stuff. You could also do inside, obviously, if you wanted to do vermiculture, which
yes,
is...
We do, actually. We
oh, do you do?
Too. Yeah, that's helped minimize the amount we have to put outside, but... The problem is, when we have citrus and stuff that's really smelly, we don't put it in.
I don't blame you. Yeah, no, that's it's going to break down eventually. The question about the red worms, though, is a good one. And I have let's do that one. Okay. Where'd you go there, Heather? What's the web?
This is gardenworms.com.
Gardenworms.com.
Great.
Yeah, it says when it gets colder, your worms will slow down and will not be able to digest as much food waste. Well, we know that, but we want to know what happens to them. You will most likely need to cut back on the amount of food. Yeah. Let's see. It says red worms can survive cold winters outside if protected by bedding in a worm bin. Well, you don't have a worm bin, but my feeling is if you're, near the soil line before it freezes,
yeah,
they're going to go down and get out of the way and then come back in the spring. That's what I would assume. I'm not 100% sure, but if anybody else wants to call with that information, 773-838-9278 and either verify what I said or call me an idiot. but I'm glad you're composting. I'm glad you're composting indoors and out. That's fabulous.
It's a great thing. It's really wonderful, and the children really enjoy it. We have a list with 1,000 little squares on it, and they fill it in with different names that they can come up for each worm, you know.
Each worm has a name.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got thousands of wrigglers there. Yep. It's a or wigglers or whatever they call them. Eric, where do you live?
I'm in Evanston.
You know, we got to send Eric something here.
Okay.
let's see. You know, let's send him a gift certificate to Pesci's.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So you hang on and
thanks, and
talk to Heather, and we will do that for you, and we'll try to make sure we've got the correct answer on that, so I'm not talking off the top of my head, but that's what I would assume, because, you know,
I tweeted what happens to red worms in the winter, and Zamboni wrote, when mixed with parsley, they make a delightful holiday topping for ice cream.
No.
Don't tell your kids that, Aaron.
No, I can't tell them.
No, don't tell
Ew.
Them.
Maybe if you're Big Bird.
Oh, Lordy.
Gosh.
Well, hang on, and we're going to get you. It's all right, Heather.
Okay, I'm composed. I'm back.
Okay, you're back.
Good.
Because you got to talk to Eric and get his information. I appreciate you calling, Eric.
Thanks a lot.
Happy New Year to you.
You too.
All right. Getting back to some of the stuff that I was talking about before, one of the stories that just came across my desk recently, and I didn't know this. I mean, how would you? Well, I suppose you could figure it out by yourself. But there's a wonderful online publication called Environmental News Network. And they did a story, and they send me stuff sometimes every day. I got a lot of people that send me stuff every day. Please stop it. But they did a story called The Rise of Digital Billboards, What a Waste. And it makes sense when you read about it, but I wasn't sure of this until then. It says on the typical American roadway, it's not uncommon to see the billboard. And you've seen them. You're driving along.
Oh, the electronic ones?
Yeah, the electronic ones. Guess what? According to a new report, digital billboards consume a large amount of energy and create a variety of electronic waste.
Oh.
They use thousands of tiny light-emitting diodes, the LED bulbs, which can be manipulated so the image can be changed. The effect is a brighter sign which attracts the gaze of motorists and passengers, adding to our ever-growing distractions on the road. Drawback number one. For billboard owners, they can be great for business, allowing their space to be sold to multiple advertisers at any one time.
You mean Clear Channel?
What?
Well, don't they own, like, all the billboards?
I have no idea. Maybe you're right.
Look at the picture on your website. Clear Channel.
You're right. And besides contributing to light pollution and being a visual annoyance to some, digital billboards also use massive amounts of energy. According to the study by Gregory Young, an architectural designer and urban planner in the Philadelphia area, each billboard consumes 30 times as much energy as the typical American household. Let me say that again. Each billboard consumes 30 times as much energy as the typical American household. So, in other words, one billboard equals 30 houses. And even though LED bulbs are extremely efficient, the signs deploy so many that their energy use is high. Isn't it? It's amazing to think that you could come up, you know, let's figure out a way to defeat the whole purpose of LEDs. Here we go. Electronic billboards. Typical billboards have only one or two large lights to illuminate them at night, but require no energy during the day. Digital billboards need power for all hours of the day, and therefore require cooling systems, which use even more energy. Some of these new billboards are enormous, measuring 20 by 60 feet, and can deploy over 10,000 LED bulbs. Young's report states that the largest digital billboards consume
a staggering 323,000 kilowatts per year compared to the typical household uses or the typical household use at about 11,000 kilowatt hours per year. 323,000 kilowatts versus the typical house at 11,000 kilowatts. The cost of this amount of energy equates to a bill of over $44,000 a year, and that's given the current kilowatt rate in the Philadelphia metro area. Another major problem, and it just goes on and on here, is the enormous amounts of electronic waste produced from spent LED bulbs. LED bulbs have a lifespan of 100,000 hours, or 11 years, and are recyclable. So far, so good. However, with rapid technological advancements, today's LED bulbs will be obsolete. Surprise, surprise. Also, there is often no mandate to reuse the bulbs, and very little monitoring exists. Wastes produced from typical billboards, which are made of paper or vinyl sheets, actually have a higher volume, but do not have the potentially toxic byproducts. So there you go. However, and the worst part of it here, digital billboards are expected to increase in numbers around the country as prices for large LED screens fall. The Outdoor Advertising Association of America projects the annual increase of large digital billboards to be several hundred per year. Yikes.
Never read Fahrenheit 451?
Saw, you know, the movie.
Book's better, but they have walls that are the TV. They no longer have like normal walls. They have giant TV screens, like off, and people just sit in front of them all day.
Like America in 2010.
They just get bigger and bigger. We're going to put them on the highway so you can watch TV there. You can watch TV standing in the grocery store now. You can watch TV standing while you pump your gas. I'm sorry. You
weird.
Can watch advertising while you stand there and pump.
No,
your
and
gas.
Every now and then they punctuate the advertising with like 30 seconds of
infotainment.
Infotainment, yeah. All right, let's look over one of the other stories. All right, here's one that I meant to get to, and this is Monica Ang wrote in the Chicago Tribune a little while back. She does a lot of food issues. She's been on the show before.
Mm-hmm. We had her on earlier this year.
Yeah. And she wrote this on October 19th. It's harvest time in the Chicago public schools. The gardens are full of chubby tomatoes, heavy squash, and fragrant basil. But one thing the more than 40 gardens have in common in the schools is that none of the produce ever finds its way into CPS lunchrooms. Instead, because of rules set by the district and its meal provider, the food is sold or given away. The policies are in place despite the high obesity rate among Illinois children and experts' concerns that young people are eating fresh vegetables. Meanwhile, studies suggest children eat and accept vegetables much more readily when they have helped grow them.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's theirs. So, it's complex, but this is just one of the things in the local food realm that makes it difficult, because there are, you know, and it's frankly one of the questions that mayoral candidates need to be asked in the coming election, which is, hey, what do you know about local food and the production of local food? The city council is dealing with this right now. The zoning issues involving local food and what you grow there. For instance, because from what I understand, and I think I've got this, if you're not zoned for retail, but you're zoned for residential, well, it's possible the residential, you might be able to grow a garden. But if you're not zoned for retail, you can't sell the produce there. You'd have to take it to a farmer's market, but you can't sell it there because you're not retail. And this is how the different...
Okay, wait, my head hurts.
I know. Well, that's because of Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was Chicago politics. I'm sorry.
Well, it just makes it...
I didn't know Christmas and Chicago politics. My head would explode.
Yeah, well, it just makes it hurt a little more. That's all. But these are the obstacles. There are a lot of obstacles. Some are just various agencies, like the health department, zoning department, all having different agendas.
And not cooperating
right.
or communicating
and
with
and
each
one
other.
Of the things that's going to have to happen is going to have to be that cooperation.
Isn't that what happened to that food shelter that Monica Eng wrote about earlier this year?
Yeah,
that it
yeah,
was
yeah,
the
yeah.
two departments not, and so they said they didn't have her permit. She did, and then they destroyed half the food she made. Yeah.
yeah. So that's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is, you know, if you grow food in the school garden, nice. Can't eat it in school. But
not even the
we're so
like the,
glad
the teacher
that you have
couldn't
done
harvest it.
It
with the children and like make their own salad in class, like a school
I'm sure
project
there
kind
are,
of thing. That would probably be the only way around it because you couldn't like they, serve it up authentic, you know, formal style in the cafeteria.
Chef Greg Christian requested permission to serve school garden produce at Alcott Elementary School when he was running its organic school project, which ceased this year, but district administrators refused on the grounds it wasn't safe. It was good enough to use for cooking demonstrations and good enough to send home with the kids, but not good enough to feed kids in their lunch, Christian said.
So they should have Twinkies instead.
Well, you know, I will say Chartwell's, which is the company that handles the produce and the food in the Chicago public schools, has been doing some great things. They've been working with Family Farmed, which is one of the organizations I mentioned earlier, to buy the goal this year is $2.3 million worth of fresh produce.
So that, get it into
the schools. So that's getting better and better. So what's going on here is a system that's not perfect that still has some bumps, all right? Because this is such a new movement, oddly enough, because we separated ourselves from the land for so long and now...
Now we're coming back to it.
We're coming back to it. But the systems were set up for being completely separated.
Well, that's like the same thing as like sugar. Like they used to say, sugar's so bad for you, sugar's so bad for you. Now they have the sugar substitutes and they're like, whoa, 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 these are worse. Let's go back to the sugar. Like I'm now seeing products that say made with real sugar. You know? I'm like, oh my gosh.
I got in trouble at Gargantua Radio a few years ago on the overnights. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. It was one of these sugar substitute products,
mm-hmm.
and a report had come out. I was just reading the report, and it said it can cause anal leakage.
I know what substitute that was.
Oh,
it was
you?
On the back of the potato chips. They made potato chips
right.
out of it. I read that to a friend of mine who had one of those packs. He started spitting them out on the street.
And I said... And I said anal leakage on it at 3 a.m.
And someone got angry with you?
Yeah. Somebody called. I don't know
but
if the boss was listening or somebody called.
There's a lot more colorful and distasteful ways of saying anal leakage.
Exactly. I thought that was pretty clinical, don't
it's
you
a,
think?
It's like when you watch, you know, the pharmaceutical commercials. Like, you can walk safely in a crowd without anxiety, but, you know, it'll give you, you know, your eyes will roll back into your head. My favorite, and again, not to be too discolorful on a Sunday morning,
why not? We're already
They call
in trouble.
It sexual side effects. It's like for anti-anxiety pills. Things like that, they may cause sexual side effects.
Meaning that you will be able to, or
I'm
you won't be able to?
I'm assuming it's a won't be able to, but you don't know. It
but we
go
have
either
the side
way.
Effects.
But the thing is, it's like, okay, you won't have anxiety when you talk to people anymore, but forget about, like, meeting anyone on a romantic level because you're taking this drug. You know, it's like, wait, doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Oh, usually the symptoms are much worse than the cure.
Right.
Oh, you thought
the cure is worse than the symptom. Yeah, it's like,
is that what I meant? Yeah,
yeah, I think so.
Well... What I meant to say is any benefit you might get out of it is way overweighed by the bad things.
I'd rather be chunky than suffer from anal leakage. I'll go with the real sugar. Thanks.
And if my nose falls off, you know, right. That's not so bad.
Fingernails turn blue.
Noses are overrated.
Oh, we got a tweet. Who's all tweeting
right.
us?
Oh, what happens to the
That's the stuff that does the anal leakage from our reporter
Alestra,
on the street. Alestra.
Leah writes. Zamboni says, what happens to red worms in the winter?
I read that one, yeah.
Oh, that was the old one.
Yeah.
Okay. See? I must have gotten it right because...
Yeah. But it's true. It's true, yeah.
All right, let me take care of a little...
Walking huge chunks of
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. It's just me and Heather here today doing our thing. As we lurch into the new year, which is the way it goes for me. Let me take care of a little business, and then I'm going to tell you the story of the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. I love this group. Have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Another story I missed this year. That's what we're doing, covering the stories that I missed this year. Let's see where we are here. I have no idea where we are. All right, now that Christmas is over and we're on the eve of the new year, it's probably time to take a look around the house and tend to some of those all-important indoor garden tasks you've neglected, such as repotting the unruly house plants that were temporarily shoved behind the bookcase when you made room for the Christmas tree. Sid's Greenhouses can help with the right soil mixes and fertilizers for every plant in one of Chicagoland's largest assortments of decorative pots and pottery. Of course, they have a great selection of lush tropical houseplants as well. Remember, houseplants not only look great, they also help improve indoor air quality. If you've been enjoying a lovely poinsettia or ponzetta for the last several weeks, you're in luck. Now through February 1st, you can trade in your ponzetta plant at Sid's and get 25% off a shiny new tropical. What a deal. Oh, and just in case you hadn't had your fill of Christmas decorating, buy some more and put it up next week. No, actually, most remaining Christmas merchandise is 60 to 75% off while supplies last. Sid's Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills, on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook, on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hang on, I'm queuing this up. I don't even know where it is. It's here someplace. Da-da-da-da. Let's see where we are. I'm going to play this a little bit. Yeah, okay, yeah. I got to play this each year, you know. It's I didn't queue it up ahead of time. All right, wait. It's the Spike Jones and his City Slickers. We'll get that in a second. Well, that'll be close enough, somewhere in that range. Where was I? Oh, yeah. We're entering a new year, so this is a good time to look back at the work of some of the green service providers in the past year. Well, one in particular, WRD Environmental. Now, you've heard me talk about their involvement in green activities like Greentown, the future of community at the College of Lake County in Grays Lake, Illinois. That was earlier this year. They sponsored the 6th annual Chicago River Summit in June, hosted by Friends of the Chicago River and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. And if I didn't have Friends of the Chicago River up on my list, and I don't, I miss that. So there's another group I think you might want to contribute to. They do fabulous work, and they're making our river safe for us to play in and to sport in. Speaking of the river, WRD Environmental has been instrumental in developing and maintaining the award-winning and innovative Fish Hotel in the Chicago River for 2 years now. And that's not all. WRD Environmental was part of the South Pond Rehabilitation Team, which transformed that part of Lincoln Park from a tired, polluted mud hole into a vibrant showplace for a rebounding ecosystem. And WRD was one of the main sponsors for Mayor Daley's Landscape Award Ceremony, which celebrates gardening all over the city. That's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to WRD. For experienced, sustainable landscape development, trust the professionals at WRD Environmental, and you can find them on the web at WRDEnvironmental.com. Are you okay?
quite the tweet a moment ago.
What's the what?
Leah. At Mike Now, I'd rather be chunky than suffer from anal leakage. Heather Fry, one of the Mike Novak Show's top 10 quotes of 2010.
Oh, great. Thanks.
And we have a few callers on the phone who want to talk to you.
Okay. Cool. All right. Let's play this first. I'm not sure exactly where we are.
My ears are an appellation.
Spike, how about Spike?
In this coming year, I'm going to be discreet. Have the slickers playing music soft and sweet. I resolve to treat Tchaikovsky tenderly and set his second movement off with TNT.
Just don't make them like that anymore,
do
they?
No, they don't. Sadly, they don't.
We got some phone calls.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's answer the question first. And who else to answer the question but Dan Costa?
About red wigglers.
from Vern Gore's greenhouse in Hinsdale. How are you, Dan?
Oh, pretty good, Mike. Hope that you're doing well and have a happy new year.
Thank you. We'll know if I survive the performance at the Morton Arboretum this afternoon.
I might try and get out there if I get
a chance. You can roll on by for the Yule log hunt. It's a lot of fun.
I've seen enough Yule logs on the last few weeks.
A little Yule logged out there, Dan?
Oh, there's lots of frozen evergreen branches out there, that's for sure. But you were correct about your worms. They will go down into the soil and they just hibernate.
That's kind of what I thought. But here's the question I had. If you've got an above ground composter, one that doesn't touch the ground, you know, like the tumblers, I got a feeling those worms are out of luck.
They're toast.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I wouldn't call them toast. I call them more popsicles.
Yeah, well, like, what was it? They're great on icing on the cake? You probably sprinkle them on?
Right.
Like the gummy worms, you know?
Yeah, that was our...
with parsley, they make a delightful holiday topping for ice cream.
Yeah, there we go. Parsley? Yikes. On ice cream, okay.
Well, you're a horse.
Well, that's what I figured. They go into the ground, but if you got one of those above ground things that doesn't touch the ground where the worms can escape, that just seems cruel, doesn't it? It's like,
Well,
nice thing is that their body's, you know, like 70% water, so they will in tune become one with the soil and the compost pile.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I used to, we know.
A consolation prize, but yeah. At least their carcasses won't affect anything.
You know, and when I had them, I had some vermicomposting in my basement for a while, and the worms kept trying to escape, and it was just sad. You know, when they got out, if they got out, you know, and some of them would sneak away, and they'd get a little crispy after a while. There's just no place to go on the concrete down there.
Nope. So,
yeah. Well, thank you, Dan, and you have a wonderful new year, buddy.
Oh, yes. Hopefully it'll be better than 2010. And
well, I know that the business is the hoarder. You know, and as I said, in January, I'm going to have Connor Shaw on the show from Possibility Place Nursery in Monee, and he's very outspoken about the business, and you know, he's kind of a loose cannon, which is why I like having him on the show. And we're going to talk about, well, he grows a lot of native trees and shrubs, which we'll talk about, but he also has very strong opinions about the business and where it's going and how tough it's been in the past couple of years. And, you know, I got a feeling that this spring is going to be kind of make or break for a lot of people in the horticultural world.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep tabs on that, and I hope you're one of the guys that gets through.
Me too.
If not, like I said before, I may have to hire you to work on my show.
Okay, I'll be there.
You're not going to like the pay. Yeah, you really. I can guarantee it.
It can't be worse than greenhouse pay. Come on now.
You know, you're probably right. I hadn't thought about that.
Does it pay you in worms?
All right. Thanks, Dan. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Mike.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Where are we going? Let's go. Let's go line one real quick to J.R. Rizzi.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
Merry Christmas to you.
So we had Yule manure?
This is it. Yes, just a manure update. Three hot loads got delivered before Christmas. So three hot loads,
huh?
Hot
and steamy.
And a pear tree.
Hot and steamy. Well, like I say, I did call you earlier this week to say thank you, and the only one I could come up with is that there isn't many radio show hosts that double as stool softeners. you missed the poop flow, Mike.
Oh boy, we've gone from anal leakage to stool softener.
You made it flow, buddy.
This is the way you celebrate the holidays.
I'm telling you.
Nothing says Christmas like a stool softener.
Truth be told, you know, there's some people who are probably thinking that right now.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Like, what did I eat last night?
Holy smoke. All right.
The only other one was I was going to suggest in our line also with the mulches and all the rest of the grinding and chopping and chipping. This comes from the old German, my grandfather, with your old Christmas tree. I haven't heard it many people, but a pickle tree. He always took his Christmas tree and planted it in the garden and put four cucumber plants underneath it. You've got a pickle tree all year.
You know what I had?
Vines?
Yeah, the vines grow up through the tree.
That's a nice idea.
That's not a bad idea.
There is that old tradition of hanging like a pickle ornament on a tree. Hold on. I got to find it.
All right, she's going to find it. But I did something similar this year. I granted pole beans in my backyard, and I have a number of trees, and one of the plants ended up going up through my crab apple. So I had to get up on the ladder to harvest the pole beans from the tree there.
Nice and easy way to use it. So, well, happy holidays, Mike. I appreciate it.
Let's give you the plug again. The name of the business?
Rizzi Soil.
630-270-4947. Email address?
Yeah, Rizzi3@AOL.
Rizzi3@AOL. And this is if you'd like some hot, steamy.
That's it. Aged horse manure.
Which is important. And let me ask you something I didn't ask last week is what about weed seeds in the horse manure?
Well, the thing is with the breakdown and the actual, natural decomposition of it, a lot of the weed seeds and that type of stuff actually cook themselves out. And that's why we say, aged, you really don't want to go to the stable right down the street unless you've got some time to work with it, which is fine. But, it's so rich, it's so hot, it really needs to have some time.
Great. And I expect to hear from you this week with another dozen people who've called. I'm getting 10%, right?
It would... that's great.
No.
I was going to give you 20.
Oh, see, I talked myself down from it. Oh. Six.
And that's the other one, definitely. We'll get together. I think we're going to have to come up with a couple of special gifts. When you have the right person and you need to lay off a load, you let me know.
630-270-4947. If you need some of that hot, steamy horse manure, Rizzi's the guy. He's your man. All right, JR, take care. We'll talk later.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's go to line three, and that is Samuel. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Thanks for taking my call. The garden magazine, Chicago Land Garden, had talked about oasis rooting wedges.
Oasis rooting? Is this the January issue?
Yeah, I got it a week ago, and it was propagating dahlia cuttings.
Yeah, there's a... Hold on, I'm grabbing the issue because I got it right here. It's a wonderful article about dahlia cuttings and growing dahlias. Now, dahlias, not the easiest thing in the world to get those dinner plate dahlias. And where was that? On the... that's right. And then the how that you do it thing. Okay, so what's your question about it? Let's see.
Does the rooting wedge prop up the cutting? Because the medium seems to be only water.
It looks like they've got soil there in that, though. I mean, I haven't complete. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's see who wrote the story. This is Michelle Byrne Walsh, who's a buddy of mine. Okay.
Yes.
And I will give her a holler this week, and we're going to talk about this next week on the show, and I'll tell you, because she's the one who wrote the story, we'll have her scoop on exactly how she did it and how it props them up. How's that?
Thank you.
Can you do that? Do me a favor. Send me an email and remind me of this, Samuel, so that I can make sure I send you back an email so that make sure you're listening to the show next week.
Mike, NOVAK.
Mike at Mike Novak.net.
NOVAK.net.
Mike@MikeNovak.net.
Got it.
All right, great. I'm glad you were listening, and we will talk about it next week.
Thanks again.
All right. Thanks a lot. Let's go to line two. Mystery guest, come in.
Excuse me?
Oh, dear. Wait,
is this a big pile of
speaking
agent?
Of steaming...
Steaming piles? What's that?
It must be Ron Coghill from Mighty House. Saturdays at 7 a.m. here on Chicago's Progressive Talk. How are you doing, buddy?
Fine, sir. Hey, I'm just out here pushing all this snow out of the way. So you guys are complaining you don't like it. That's money falling from the sky for me, buddy. So just bring it on.
Who's complaining about didn't liking it?
With driving in it.
Driving in it, I don't like driving in it.
I don't even care about driving in it. I don't like driving in it. I'm absolutely fine with it. So this is how you entertain yourself on the day after Christmas, huh?
And Christmas Eve, I was out until 6 in the morning and came home, slept for a few hours, got back up, and off I went. And, that's the way it goes.
You total mercenary. This is Ron Coghill. Completely mercenary at the holidays.
That's right.
He said to the wife and the kids, it's like, you guys sit by the tree, and I might be around, I might not be. Who knows?
I'm going to go work.
That's right. I'm going to go make some money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is always the holidays you need someone with Coghill skills, because it will be the day that you're having 28 people over for dinner that a pipe explodes in the ceiling, or there's an electrical fire up the wall, or always.
It's something. You were talking about Fort Sheridan up here.
Yeah.
And we did a historical restoration up here, so if you actually want to get into the one of the lieutenant homes, I can get you in there if you want to really see one of them restored.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I got friends who are helping work on the ravines, the restoration of the ravines up there, who said they can give me that tour. So if you give me the other tour, man, I got it covered.
Yeah. It's really cool place.
It's going to be gorgeous. I mean, as long as you don't stumble across, unexploded ordnance on the beach, I guess.
Right. Yeah, so far, so good. I haven't lost any legs out there, so I think it's fine.
Oh, good. Great. All right. Well, listen, Ron Coghill, how's everything going on Saturday? You doing all right?
We're surviving. We need the Mike Novak show over there, though, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, I don't mind being on both days.
Yeah?
As long as they pay me for it.
Yeah, okay. Right. Good plan.
Don't get an accident now, Lavin.
That's right. Whoa, Ron just drove off the road.
Look out. Leader of the pack.
He just took out somebody's arborvitae.
Yeah.
All right, Ron Coghill, have a great New Year's, buddy.
You too. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Actually, as we enter the new year, it's a reminder of the ways that they give back to the Chicagoland community. They support organizations like Open Lands Tree Keepers. The Care of Trees shows up for every course and teaches average citizens how to make the urban forest healthier. The Care of Trees also works with the City of Chicago Department of the Environment Green Corps, a job training green industry program which is run out of the Center for Green Technology. The Care of Trees speaks to garden clubs and teaches their members how to preserve the greatest plants on the planet,
trees, I would think. These are just three reasons why you should make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Oh, and by the way, they do great work. Oh, and by the way, they're great people. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Silent night, holy night, all is gone, all is bright.
The holiday wouldn't be complete without Tom Waits singing. We got a quick answer. Well, let's do that. And we're going to have to make it real quick because I still wanted to get one more thing in. Dan from...
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
Good. Yeah, I heard you were talking about that article in the Chicagoland Gardening that Michelle did, and it involved, I believe, Frank Campisi and myself, and I had talked to you previously. We did the Big Dahlia Show in 2007.
Oh, yeah, it's
show.
Great to hear back from you, and Frank. Frank's a great guy, too.
I was just happened to be listening, and you were talking about these oasis wedges.
Yeah.
They hold the cutting. When you propagate the tubers and you grow the little 2-3-inch cuttings, when you take them off of the tuber, you stick them into the wedge, and that little wedge then has a little bit of water on the bottom. In about 21 days, the roots from the cutting will grow through the wedge, and then you take the wedge itself with the cutting in it, and you can transfer that into like a little 4-inch pot with some potting soil. And then when it's time in the spring and there's no more chance of frost, you just put that little pot, take the little soil with the wedge right together and just plop it in the ground, and you've got your 12-inch dahlia flower in July or August.
And it's a way to do it ahead of time and get it...
Right. Yeah, it's for propagation purposes. The problem with that, Mike, is that we can order them through our Central State Dahlia Site. We order them for our members. I don't know that they're available retail. We buy them from different suppliers as a wholesale situation, and then just sell them to our people.
I'm going to make this quick because I'm going to get something real quick. But if the guy who just called, I'll tell you what, Dan, let's do something. Let's talk next week, all right?
Okay.
And then we'll talk about dahlias a little bit and getting them early, and so we can go through this. So
I'll call you back next week then.
Well, let me get your email address.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on hold, and Heather will talk to you, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. We'll do that next week because I wanted to tell you real quick before we get out of here, the voluntary human extinction movement that I mentioned earlier. It's the VHEMT, pronounced vehement. It's a movement, not an organization, a movement advanced by people who care about life on planet Earth. We're not just a bunch of misanthropes and antisocial Malthusian misfits. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Voluntary human extinction is the humanitarian alternative to human disasters. I love this idea. As vehement volunteers know, the hopeful alternative to the extinction of millions of species of plants and animals is the voluntary extinction of one species, Homo sapiens. So that's on my, you can find out about the, and their motto is, may we live long and die out. The voluntary human extinction movement. Hey, that's all the time we have. Happy New Year to everybody, all my sponsors. I love you. Go out and buy stuff from my sponsors. Heather, Happy New Year. Mike Sanders, and all the listeners out there. I'm glad to hear from everybody, and thank you so much for the last 2.5 years. We will see you in 2011. Take care.